In John chapter 8, in verses 1 through 6, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus. And they told Jesus that they caught this woman in the very act of adultery. And they said to Jesus, the law says. And then they asked Jesus, but what do you say? And you know the story, how Jesus bent down and wrote something in the ground. But the Bible says that they wanted to accuse him. In other words, they brought this woman to Jesus to see if Jesus would punish this woman without understanding that the law requires that not only do you bring the woman, but you bring the man as well. And therefore, if you caught the woman in a very act, then obviously you caught the man as well. But see, their motives was wrong. And there are a lot of people that operate in this world with wrong motives. And there are some things that are being done among us in the brotherhood that the question need to be asked, what's your motive? What's your motive? There are some things that are dividing the Lord's church because some people are engaging in it. And the question needs to be asked, and the subject of the hour is, what's your motive? One of the things that you may observe if you go to a certain congregations, that you may find the minister wearing religious garments. We know that the priest under the Old Testament was dressed in holy garments. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 2. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. But there is no Bible for religious garment, clothing for the minister in the New Testament. No, it is not. Hear what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5, following concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. He said they do everything to attract people attention. They make their headbands large and the tassels on their shawl long. They love the place of honor at the dinner and the front seat in the synagogue. He said they love to be greeted in the marketplace and to have people call them rabbi. And someone will use the argument, there is no Bible for wearing suits. That's true. But what's your motive for wearing religious garments? Notice, anyone who entered the service would not be able to identify you as the minister. In other words, if someone came in here for the very first time and all of us were just sitting down, no one in here would recognize me as the minister. They would know who the minister is. But if I had on religious garments, it wouldn't be hard for them to identify who I am. You know, soon they walk in the door, and I'm sitting here, I'm standing here, or I'm standing out there with my robe on. First thing they say, there you go, right there. What's your motive? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will, he said, not be brought under the power of any. In other words, some things that you do may not be wrong, but is not expedient. And because it's not expedient, because it's going to cause problems and division, you ought to put it away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Paul said, it may be right to do, but it's not expedient because it does not edify the body of Christ. It caused division. And there are brethren who want to do what they want to do, regardless whether or not it caused division or not in the brotherhood. Romans, notice now, we don't want to cause division, but we want to have unity. And we're not going to have unity by compromising the doctrine. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I'd rather stand before Jesus and he tells me that the things that I wanted to do was okay with him, and I'd rather miss out on that than to stand before him and he tell me, depart from me, you work of iniquity. We got to understand that, you see, if the minister can wear religious garments, then the elders can wear religious garments. Well, not only that, the deacons can wear religious garments. Not only that, the brothers can wear religious garments. Not only that, the sisters can wear religious garments. In other words, everybody can come in here with a religious garment on and have the same type that the preacher have, and I guarantee you he gonna have a problem. Why? He not identified no more. And I don't know this. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful of what's going on in the brotherhood and know our Bible. These members, they just allow the preacher to run amok in the church and don't question him. Why? Why they don't question him? Because he tells you, well, you don't understand Greek. Let me tell you something. I know that in the Greek there's three words for love: philo, eros, and agape. And even if I don't know those words in the Greek, I know one thing. I love my wife and I love my children, but my love for my wife differs from my love for my children. I don't have to know Greek to understand that. We got to be careful. We got to study the word of God for ourselves. And anytime if I come in here with a religious garment on, the question you need to ask, what's your motive? Why are you wearing that? And therefore, if you can wear it, everybody in the house can wear it. But not only is we having issues with religious garments now, but also we having issues that the minister wife being addressed as first lady. Nowhere in the Bible. But yet, they have it on their website. They call their name out and they say first lady. Notice, there is no Bible for that, and it is not a matter of expediency. That's not a matter of expediency. It's wrong. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Notice now, Matthew did not refer to Peter's wife at first lady. Notice that? He didn't say that they saw the first lady's mother lying sick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. Notice what Paul said. Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? In other words, notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say that we didn't have a right to take along a first lady. That's nowhere in the Bible. What's your motive for trying to refer to your wife as first lady? Paul did not refer to her as first lady. It had been said the first time first lady was introduced in a church was by T.D. Jakes. But I know he didn't get it from the Bible. But in your church, you could do what you want to do. But in the lost church, the church of Christ, we must do what God says. Keep telling you, we need to hold on to the truth. And there are members who are quick to support with their time and their finance false doctrine before they're willing to support the truth. We need to stand with God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. He said, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as with the ability which God supplied, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to speak what the Bible speaks and be quiet what the Bible is sound. No longer do we want to talk that way now. We want people to feel good. You can feel good, but feel good based on the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Paul said that we speak to please God and not man. I'm here to tell you that this preacher gonna always speak to please God. And I don't care who don't like it. That don't bother me. I keep telling you, there are people that try to control the minister with their wallet and their purse. Oh, yes, there's some doing. And what the minister do, he breaks down and start water down the gospel. To tell you, I'm not watered down in nothing. I'm going to stick with the word. I'm going to hang on with God's word. He said in Titus 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exalt and convict those who contradict. We got to stand on the word of God. You see, now they realize something. They realize those Church of Christ members no longer study their Bible. Those Church of Christ members are more geared and hyped on emotion than knowledge. And that's what they geared to, and that's what they know. And that's why they can do certain things in the church, and the members sitting there won't even challenge you. Isaiah 30 and verse 10. Which said to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Notice what they was asking. They wanted the prophet of God to speak to them, not things that was right. They wanted things that was smooth. Why? Because they wanted things that they could do what they want to do and think they're all right with God. Paul said in Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Notice what he say: for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattery speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Have somebody come telling you, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm Dr. this and I'm Dr. that. That don't mean you know the right doctrine because you're a doctor. And if you do know the right doctrine, I know from studying my own Bible whether or not you went off the path. We have to stick with the word of God. There's nowhere in the Bible that you can call your wife first lady. They're trying to be like the world. trying to be like the denominations. And most of the people that come out of denominationalism and obey the gospel, now members of the Lord's church, when you come out with a robe on, they quick to identify back to their denomination affiliation. Huh? And because they like that, you continue to do that. We got to stand with God. He says, 2 Peter 2:3. Notice what Peter says, 2 Peter 2:3. By covetousness, they will exploit you. How they going to do it? With deceptive words. Keep telling you. If you don't understand in a conversation with somebody, if you understand what they're saying, don't feel ashamed to ask them, I don't understand, can you break it down some more to me? Now, don't be ashamed to ask that question. Huh? Don't be ashamed, because there are some people now in the Lord's church that will use their knowledge. Instead of helping you, they'll use their knowledge to exploit you. You got to be careful. He said, with deceptive words. He said, for a long time, the judgment has not been bare, idle, and the destruction does not sleep. In other words, you may not know who they are, but God knows who they are. So we have now, we want to wear, or they want to wear, religious garments. Have their robes on. And have their sleeves and the cross all. What's your motive? What is your purpose for doing that? But not only that, as we said before, want to call a wise first lady. And here's the thing. They'll come in your midst and burn their wife with them. And not one time would they identify her as first lady, because they know you know better. See, that's instead of coming on the table and say, this what I believe, they don't do that. They just try to find their ways in other congregations and try to spill that poison on other members. But you have to know. You can't call your wife first lady. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere. And the third thing that happening that's causing division in a brotherhood is praise teams. Praise team. To lead the congregation in worship. Notice what they say. You have 8 people, men and women, standing before the congregation using microphones, singing songs. And these are not just anybody. On one website of the Church of Christ, they say that you have to audition first. You have to audition first. Can't just let you get up here and start singing. You can't be part of the praise team. You got to go through an audition, they say. They say, look, you got to have 2 sopranos, 2 altos, 2 tenors, and 2 basses. Yeah, notice now, all 8 people, that's what they're doing. One soprano, 1 alto, 1 tenor, 1 bass. If the congregation need to improve their singing, they need to learn new songs. You don't need a praise team to do that. Just meet and practice congregation singing. That's all you got to do. Don't come up here and talk about we need a praise team. Huh? What happened if the congregation don't have a soprano, an alto? What happened if they don't have that? What happened if the sopranos are out this Sunday? What are we going to do then? That's what they're saying now, to improve the worship. They said to make the singing better. Let me tell you something. All you got to do is come and practice. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You may not be able to sing in the song group, but you are able to sing in the worship because God have commanded it. Anybody say, well, no, brother, sister, nah, we don't want you in the song group. That's fine. But when it comes to the worship of God, everybody has to be singing. We need to leave the humming and the beatboxing outside the worship. You can't beatbox and sing at the same time. That's impossible. Somebody say, yeah, I beatbox and so-and-so sing. Well, you beatboxing, you not singing. All of us supposed to be singing. And here's the thing. Because beatbox is, which means, is using your voice as a type or instrument. And therefore, once they get you used to of hearing the beatbox sound, they going to turn around and say, look, we sound so good. We sound just like an instrument. I tell you what, what's the difference than bringing an organ in if we sound like one? And that's how instrument and music begin to creep in the house of God. And then people who, the praise team, when they singing, half of the people not singing. They sitting back listening. They feel like they being entertained now. And when you ought to be singing to God. You don't need a group of people to pump you up for worship. You ought to come ready to worship God. We don't need no cheerleaders here. Huh? We don't need nobody to pump us up. Come on, get ready. We don't need that. If you haven't come in the house of God ready to worship, that's on you. I need you to pump me up. Now the love of God ought to pump you up. The things that God have done for you through the week ought to pump you up. Can't wait, as that song say, the Sunday morning. Huh? Can't wait to get to the house of God to give my praises to God for what he done for me. But no, we want the praise team. Huh? We want the praise team to get us excited. Let me tell you something. You ought to give everybody a microphone. Let everybody stand and sing. I'm going to tell you something. Once you start doing that, guess what? They're going to shut that down. They're going to shut it down. Why? Because you dare not identify. Same thing with the wearing of the robes. If everybody wear, the preacher going to shut it down. You give everybody a mic. Let everybody come up here and stand up and lead songs. If you're going to do it. But they're not going to do that. You can have a congregation that have great singing and its worship can be vain because the condition of my heart is not right. Let somebody fool you. Because the congregation sounds good and you have your sopranos and your altos and your tenors and your bass and everybody working together and everybody sounding good. That doesn't mean your worship is acceptable to God. Notice. You can have a congregation singing that's poor in the eyes of some people, but is acceptable in the eyes of God. Because of the condition of their heart. You hear? Well, they I would like to go over there, but they singing it so bad and so poor. But yet, their hearts are right. And when their hearts are right, you might don't like it, but God loves it. Don't let people fool you. I understand. Yes, if you're going to improve in your singing, come together as a congregation and practice new songs. But to say that we have to have a praise team to teach the people how to worship somewhere in the Bible. Luke 16:14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Don't base your worship on what man says. You just make sure that you're doing what the Bible says. And I know there are congregations. They want to get into the rhythm clapping. That's another way of pumping. Everybody jumping around. This is because everybody jumping around, they walk out thinking they worship God. No, you didn't. God looking at your heart. You got to stick with God's word. Why? Because they're trying to get people emotionally excited. What ought to excite you for worship is what God has done for you through the week. What ought to excite you for worship is going back to the cross and seeing why Jesus died for you. That's all they excite you. But they get emotional. No, I'm not against somebody jumping up and clapping here and there, but you know what folk do. They try to get a rhythm going. I saw one on the internet. Soon the song leader got up and said, as soon he starts singing, church start rocking. Wait a minute, you don't even know what the song is about. You can't all of a sudden, you got that quick rush. Don't fool yourself. What is your motive from doing what you're doing? Because here's my thing. All those that are rocking on Sunday morning, where are you Sunday night? Huh? All those that's rocking on Sunday night, where are you Wednesday night? Huh? Where are you? What's your motive? And I'm going to tell you. That, see, they'll send a group of people in a congregation. Come in a congregation and sit down. And then all of a sudden, when the song starts singing, they'll start clapping. Know what they're hoping to do? To get a reaction from everybody else. We got to be careful about that. We got to stand on the word of God. And we are allowing these things to divide us. Because somebody want to do what they want to do. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6. You remember when God told Samuel, I want you to go down by Jesse's house. I want you to anoint one of his boys as king. And notice the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. In other words, Samuel came in and saw Eliab, one of Jesse's boys. And he thought for sure, wow, he looks good. He's tall. He looks like a king. He must be the one. And God said, he's not the one. And when you read the story, a couple of other boys of Jesse came by, and Samuel thought that was the one. And so God said, you don't look at their stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And you know the story. Little old David come in the house, small in stature. And God said, that's the one right there. That's the one. God judged the hearts. And that's what people, they want to tell you, well, why are you judging? I'm not judging you. I'm asking you a simple question. What's your motive? Why are you doing what you do? As a matter, why are you going to the point that you're willing to divide the brotherhood over what you want to do? And all you have to do, you say, for the sake of unity, I'm not going to do this. Even in our own home sometimes, we so adamant about doing what we want to do that we divide the house up because we want to have our way. Instead of saying, if this is going to cause some problem, I just put it on the side. putting it on the side not going to send you to hell? Huh? But trying to continue to do it after you divide in the Lord's church, you're going to have some issues. We have to stand on the word of God. We have to speak what the Bible speaks. And be silent what the Bible is silent. We have some people no longer believe that now. They say, oh no, the Bible could be silent on it, but we still get engaged in it. That's because they found out that the people of God are no longer studying the word of God. They found that out. Huh? I don't have no problem with a scream up here. I don't. But I know when you get a scream up here and you have Bible verses up there, you ain't going to bring your Bible to church. You're not going to bring your Bible to worship. Why should you? You're going to say, because we got one up here. That's why I don't advocate putting Bibles behind a pew. Because what you going to do? You're not going to study your own. They got one behind a pew. See, now, I guarantee you, if someone had shared with me that they took those Bibles from behind a pew and the congregation got mad. What you got mad for? You ought to be bringing your own. Bring your own Bible. Study the word. Write in your Bible. Your Bible ain't holy, that holy that it can't be written in. That's how you can know what you're studying. Don't let people fool you. We used to say that you got to be careful from those in the denominational world, but now it's in the church. But Paul already told the Ephesian elders about that. He said, for some among your own selves will begin to try to draw disciples after them. And that's what they're doing. Because people are hooked up on emotions. Oh, my preacher sound good. But is he preaching sound doctrine? Don't think how great how a congregation sounds because it has its four-part harmony that it meets God's approval. When it comes to worship, you can't prove that from the Bible. I know a lot of great singers that's not Christians. And if singing would get them into heaven, they'd be on their way, and some of us will be on our way down. If that's the case. So as I close, what have we learned? Number one, we learned that when things are a matter of expedience, we need to put it down for the sake of unity. Put it down. Nah, okay. If I come here with a robe on and people are upset about it and other brothers are upset about it, you know what? I just put that away. I won't worry about that. But see, if Brother Preston come here with a robe on one Sunday, then don't come back to 3 or 4 months, then come with another. All I'm doing is what? Conditioning your mind to see. You got to let them know at the first. Look, we don't like that. We don't want that. So put it away for unity. Even things that's in the home. Put it away for unity. The second thing we learned, calling ministers wives first lady is not biblical. And some brothers don't care whether it's biblical or not. They're going to do what they want. And you know that because you could go on a website and you'll see it for yourself. See it for yourself. They're not hiding it. See it for yourself. And the third thing and the last thing we learned. Praise team is nothing but a short model of a song group. That's all that is. That's all that is, a short model of a song group. And as you continue to allow it to operate in the congregation, you will find out that it begins to grow and swell in the congregation. The next thing you know, somebody going to say, wow, there's too many of us here standing up. We getting tired. Somebody go grab some chairs. Next thing you know, now you got 5 or 10, 6, 8, 9, 10 of them sitting in chairs. What you done got yourself? You got yourself a song group. operating in the worship service. Huh? You have yourself a choir. That's what you got. That's what you got. But if you're going to do that, say everybody in the church building, grab a chair and come up front. Let's all of us sit down with a mic and sing. See, they're not going to have that. They're going to go back to how it's supposed to be. So a praise team is nothing but a short model of a song group. If you're a child of God this morning and you sin in any way, the fact that you're here, you can make it right for it everlasting too late. God requires you as his child to repent of that sin, confess it before him, and he'll be willing to forgive you of your sins. But if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, let me share with you what you need to do to become a member of the Lord's church. Because even also in our brotherhood, there are brothers no longer give the invitation. They don't feel like it's necessary. I heard one preacher say, when some brothers give the invitation, you got to have a dictionary by your side to try to find out what they're talking about. I give the invitation all the time. Somebody needs to know the gospel. The Bible says that if you want to be a Christian, according to the Bible, you got to hear the word. Romans 10:17 say, faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. Then you must believe what you heard, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day because of our sins. You got to believe that. Then he says that one must repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then one must confess Christ as being the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, following, he said, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then you must be willing to be buried in the water, grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to do it God's way. I don't care if you find a Church of Christ preacher that agrees with you and tells you you don't have to be baptized if you come out of a denominational church. You are all right. He may think you are all right, but God knows you're not all right. Huh? I don't seek approval from men. I seek approval from God. He says that once you are washed up, that God will put you in his church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God gonna add you to his church based on your obedience to the gospel. And you can't sneak in. You might be a great thief. Now you may be able to get in and out of all kinds of things undetected. But when it comes to God's church, there's no way you're going to sneak in. Huh? Because folk think because they come in this building, they think they're in the church. You're not in the church because you're in this building. This building not the church. This building is not the church. Jesus said he's coming back for the church. If Jesus show up Monday, who going to be here? If this building is the church, who going to be here to be ready to go if this building is the church? This building is where the church come together to worship God. So people think, now you might, a brother might allow you to come in a building, but it's not in a building I want to be. I want to be in the church. God going to add you to his church. And once God adds you to the church, no man can take you out. Somebody say, oh, that sounds good. Yes. And that's still saying that if you think you can go run and live like a heathen all week long because no man can put you out the church, God said when he come back, he's going to start separating. He's going to do the separating. So God going to add us to, then the Bible says, Revelation 2:10, that we must live faithful unto death. Whatever it is that you need to do this evening, this morning, I pray and hope that you make the right decision. Stand strong on the word of God and don't let nobody come in here and try to divide the house of God.